This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Money Moves coming at you here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We're live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Wherever you're watching or listening, we appreciate it. SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app. Remember as well, if you missed any of the first hour of the program, you can also download Money Moves in podcast form. Stay up to date on all of our best bets every day. By the way, we'll have best bets at the end of the hour today. We're going to continue our college football talk, looking at some, and I know it's early in the season, it's only week two, but some letdowns and look-aheads potentially just to be aware of as it pertains to this week. We did have, just a little bit ago, the AP Top 25 come down, the new version, Ohio State, your new number one team in the country. But I was just most excited to see Utah finally where they rightfully belong in the Top 25, although too low for me. They're 25.
Should be number one.
Come on, bump up those numbers.
That is correct. I would agree. No, look, I will say, I guess, I don't know, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? This will ultimately shape, when we finally get there in October, our first college football playoff ranking. So ultimately really doesn't mean much. I guess you get a sense of what some AP voters will do, and maybe by extension the committee will do, punishing teams for bad losses, yeah, rewarding teams for wins, and not really discounting teams too much for losing to quality opponents. LSU and Clemson's a very good example. LSU moves up to 3 for the win over Clemson. Clemson only falls down to, what is that, 8?
Yep.
But on the flip side, Alabama loses to a previously unranked Florida State. They slip all the way to 21. Florida State's all the way up there to, what, 13 or 14?
14.
14. So it does give you a sense of that. And I guess there was a lot of people just waiting to see what Utah was going to be, because they didn't really beat anybody of anybody to write about in UCLA. But that was such a good performance. And I'm sure, because we're not the only ones who have exuded some excitement about Utah, mm-hmm, I think there's probably a lot of people that were just like, all right, let's see what it is first. And that looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, and we will talk a little bit more about Utah and Dampier specifically coming up in a bit when we talk more about week two, because we've had some big moves in the Heisman market as well. But to go back to the top 25, Miami goes up 5 spots to number 5 in the AP poll after their win over Notre Dame. They fall to number 9. Texas, now your 7th team in the country after the loss to Ohio State. And then just a couple teams that we just need to keep our eye on and see ultimately what they end up becoming, because we're not really sure. The week one opponents didn't really give you a lot to go off of. I'm going to see Arizona State this weekend. They fall in the poll after win over NAU, but Sam Levitt didn't necessarily look as great as people expected him to be. Meanwhile, Illinois looked pretty good. So, and Illinois Duke this week, as we talked about in hour one, and we had that preview with John McKechnie. How real is the hype about Illinois? A lot of things that it's still so early that we have to figure out, but just wanted to make sure we made you aware of that. We did have a lot of MLB news that came down in the last 24 hours, and we might as well start with the San Diego Padres, because they are among the contenders now, it seems, in Major League Baseball to win a World Series this year. And their all-star reliever, Jason Adam, ruptures a tendon in his left quad, had to be carted off the field. And considering how good this San Diego Padres bullpen is, that's been such a talk of this team, very notable that he's not going to be available down the stretch.
Yeah, sorry, I think I put the wrong injury in the rundown. But either way, it matters. And it matters because, so the Padres are good enough with their bullpen that they are going to be able to overcome an injury like this. But it's worth pointing out, because the rotation is somewhat odd and untrustworthy. We're going to see Yu Darvish today. Yu Darvish has been all over the place. He has been hot and cold. He'll give you a scoreless 6 and then go out there and cough up 4 over the course of 5. You have no idea what you're going to get there, and we've talked about this rotation ad nauseum in terms of just overall what you're going to get. So, in other words, while the bullpen is still very solid, you do need, I think, all hands on deck to kind of balance out what is going to be a weakness for you once you get into the postseason, which is your starting pitching. You just don't want to see this happen. So with Adam gone, I don't think you're downgrading the Padres by any extent. But look, we still have a month left in the season. Mm-hmm. God forbid you lose one more, because then all of a sudden we're going to talk about Milwaukee, whose relievers are falling left and right. Now all of a sudden you're in a position where you're going to see, all right, these cluster injuries at a key spot with our rotation really not that solid. That's going to become somewhat of a problem here for San Diego. So right now, you kind of just move the needle up to, just on the fringes of yellow. Mm-hmm. But then once if you lose another one, then you're going to really start talking about what this means for the big picture.
Padres, a 12-1 shot to win the World Series. They're plus 650 in the NL, fourth on the board in the National League behind the favorite Dodgers, Phillies, and Brewers. And it was Milwaukee where you thought I was going to go on the injury front, or what were you looking at?
No, I think that's all. It's just a.
I thought you said that's not the injury I thought I put in the rundown. What did you mean?
Oh, I meant like the actual injury itself. I put patellar tendon in the rundown, and it's not the right injury. No, sorry, I didn't mean to throw you
off. It's okay. I said the right one, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. It's on me. It's on me here, Stormy.
You're
it's on
me.
Yes, it's
you're
on me.
You scare me. I don't know. But while on the Brewers, you did write Shelby Miller leaves after feeling a pop in his elbow.
Yes, that's all I was saying is the actual scientific injury. I don't know if that's the right term to use scientific. The actual injury itself.
Ruptured tendon in left quad.
Yeah, there you go. Either way, this one's big because the Brewers relief pitcher's now on IL. We talked about Trevor Megill when he went down, D.L. Hall, Grant Anderson. A couple of those guys maybe expect to come back, but this is where now all of a sudden you look at
it's
Milwaukee.
Adding up.
Yes, we're starting to add up here. That could be a problem as you head into the postseason in those high leverage situations. And you never just like to hear felt a pop in his elbow. So that to me is really, you talk about, hey, where you at on the worry scale. For the Brewers, I think you do have to be somewhat concerned here now. That if you're going to start to continue to deal with all of these, a very quality bullpen, all of a sudden you're looking at it and going, man, we are at tatters right now and really hoping, you know, our rotation's been very solid, but you even look at some of the guys like you that we're going to have out there, maybe not going in the deepest in some of these games when you get in some of these postseason series, and now all of a sudden you've got a little bit of a problem. So the fact that Miller leaves after this injury too, just a pretty big problem, I think, developing potentially for Milwaukee's bullpen as we get into the postseason. Should also be worth noting, and as they pointed out in the multiple reports here, this is a team that has gone through 19 games in 18 days. So this has just been a stretch of a lot of baseball for Milwaukee, and that's wearing some guys down.
Yeah, they do have today off. They will be back tomorrow and Thursday to finish their series with the Phillies, but drop back-to-back games in four of their last six. They are plus 850 to win the World Series, fifth shot on the board right now, but still obviously considered among the contenders. We'll see if they can get a little bit healthier here down the stretch. What did you make of the slate today? Did you get involved in any MLB action? We didn't have any day games today, but a ton coming on from about 3:40 Pacific and on after that.
Yep, so let's go to the American League. New York Yankees taking on the Houston Astros. We're seeing the market move in favor of New York. We initially, spots offshore opened up. Yeah, Astros minus 110. We're now in the direction of Yankees minus 115. I feel like I want to object a little bit here with this one. Framber Valdez gets the start. Max Fried has turned things around somewhat. And we should also note the Yankees have turned it around. They're 12-4 in their last 16 games. But Fried, his last two starts, if you look at the numbers, really solid. 0.89 or 6.90 ERA, 2.28 FIP, really back into the form of the guy who was at the beginning of the year. It's hard to eliminate the prior eight starts, though, to his last two, where over the course of those, he had an ERA north of 6 and a fielding independent that was almost touching 5. So do we really believe after two starts, one against Boston, but the other against the Nationals, that this is fully turned around for a guy like Fried? And on the flip side, Jordan Alvarez is back for the Houston Astros. Framber Valdez bounced back his last start, 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. He had 4 starts prior that weren't particularly great. He himself, a 7.33 ERA over that stretch. But if we're believing that both of these guys are in form and where we're at, I understand the Yankees are playing really well. I feel like these two teams are a little bit closer to equal. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how high the market gets for Houston. The one we have there is minus 105. But if I'm a little bit more out of that plus price for the Astros by the time we get closer to first pitch, I'll be sweating out the Stros later today with Valdez.
Do you think the AL East is still up for grabs here?
Hell
with the
yeah.
I mean, we're sitting at 2.5 right now. The Yankees are still available at plus 240, Toronto minus 170. But Yankees all of a sudden go from us talking about them missing the playoff to 2.5 back in the division.
Yeah, buddy. I felt like an idiot. I have this AL East, right? And everyone's just like, oh, it's a bad number because you get a lot more and whatever it was, but they're still alive to win this thing. Yes, we are still very much there. Again, with a month, with 2.5 games, you still, that is a bad week. Then all of a sudden you're looking at the Yankees in control of this division potentially. I wouldn't even, obviously you're not going to rule out the Red Sox either. So that's going to be something worth noting here. The coming up series, so this is where it's going to get real for Houston, or for New York. These next four series are a bear. You have Houston, then you're home against Toronto, then you go. Then you're home against Detroit, part of a six-game homestand on the road against Boston. So come September 15th, New York has everything in front of them to potentially be the lead of the division by the time we get to that day. So write it down.
But to your point, that head-to-head with Boston, obviously critical. Yep. So the number, and Red Sox plus 425, also 2.5 back. So those are your numbers. Again, Toronto minus 170 favorites, New York plus 240, and the Boston Red Sox plus 425.
And just to point out really quickly for that as well, look at the way the Yankees close out. So even if you can navigate through that tough schedule, their last four series, Stormy, are Minnesota, Baltimore, the White Sox, and Baltimore. Mm. you could really do some damage there down the stretch if you're taking care of some of the lesser opponents that are in front of you.
Okay, I know another team that has intrigued you lately, the Seattle Mariners visiting the Tampa Bay Rays today. Brian Wu on the hill there.
Yes, so I wanted to point this one out as well. We talked a little bit about the Padres. That was pretty interesting, too, because the Padres were up to like $1.65
favorite. With Yu Darvish going
today?
With
Yu Darvish. Yeah, like the somewhat the disdain in the voice.
And I'm not an Orioles fan, but okay.
Yep, $1.65. We're starting to kind of see ahead in the direction of San Diego. But that's what I was going to point out, too, which was just the back-and-forth nature of Darvish and the way that he's been pitching. Not to divert from what you did ask me, which we'll get to Brian Wu in a second. But you look at the way that he's been pitching, again, like you talk about four earned runs over the course of four innings on the road against the aforementioned Mariners. But then you go and you pitch six innings of one earned run ball, five strikeouts against the Dodgers. But the prior to start to that, they knocked you around for four over the course of four. So it's just been all over the place for Darvish. His strikeout numbers are down, swing and miss numbers are down, middling contact profile, 88th percentile in hard hit rate, but the 39th percentile in barrel rate. All of this to be said, I feel like maybe $1.65 is a little much, but I don't know if I want to go to bat with Baltimore and Tyler Wells. Has a decent swing in this profile, just hasn't really translated to strikeouts, and he does give up a ton of hard contact. So maybe slightly and potentially to the over for Baltimore and San Diego. I do feel more strongly, though, about Valdez and the Astros. And just the fact that Brian Wu is on the hill today. Wu's, obviously, as we know, I have been wooed, if you will, by Brian's performances. He's been absolutely great, and he's a rightful road favorite here against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, -115 the price there, total 7.5. Reminder, everybody, while we're at it, that if you are somebody like me, likes to have your betting money and your day-to-day money separated, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, cashback rewards, 100% approval for betting deposits. Edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code MONEY. Deposit $25. Edge Boost is going to match that deposit for you. Edgeboost.bet. Bet. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The experts prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest, the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational with the pros. The top average Joe earns a spot in next year's 25 Pro Circa Invitational field. It's free to play. You can register anytime during the season to be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes. Plus, each week, the highest score gets a $500 Edge Boost deposit, and if the weekly winner already has an Edge Boost account, that prize is boosted to $1,000. Make sure you're eligible. Sign up at edgeboost.bet with the promo code VSIN, or you can enter the contest as well at vsin.com/Joe. Edgeboost.bet, promo code VSIN, and vsin.com/Joe. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Money Moves, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, talking plenty of college football. And you and I off the air yesterday got talking a little bit, just looking at some of the Heisman odds, because I had mentioned just how quickly on the move some of these things are, as you brought up and call me crazy, Jalen Daniels as a potential long shot option you might want to throw in the portfolio if you think Kansas can actually win a handful of games.
Oh, yeah.
But Garrett Nussmeier and Lenora Sellers, your favorites now in the market for the Heisman Trophy. Okay. Nussmeier, LSU 8-1. Lenora Sellers coming off of the performance against Virginia Tech for South Carolina, 9-1.
You're very pro Lenora Sellers.
I am big Sellers.
I think
20-1 was what I put in the portfolio preseason.
Okay, but correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not pro South Carolina as a whole, correct?
Ish. I'm like, I think they could be a fringe college football playoff contender, which is why you place a bet on a player if you think that they can win enough games
everything
to be in that
right
position.
For them, they win like 10 games. Okay.
But much higher on Sellers than the team as a whole, yes.
Okay, so what you think about South Carolina and looking at their schedule and projecting
I would not bet that
forward,
at 9-1.
Right. Like, do you think that is a deserving number for Lenoris? Is that a realistic probability that he wins the Heisman at 9-1?
I wouldn't have put 20-1 in the portfolio if I didn't think it was a realistic.
At 20-1.
But
I'm talking
at 9-1,
now,
yes, numbers
with
wise,
week one in the books, and you look at the landscape.
After one game sample size and what they have ahead of them at 9-1, no, I would not make that bet.
All right. That is it. So that's my whole premise here. So I feel like we can make the argument that this is a somewhat mispriced market. You can at least look at Garrett Nussmeier and say, I think this is a safe space. It is much more likely that Garrett Nussmeier is the quarterback of a college football playoff team than Lenora Sellers.
Yes.
So it makes sense that he would be up there, especially given the level of quarterback play that we saw over the weekend. So I will submit to you.
I almost feel like that was more of a move on just like the way that he's perceived in general.
Sure.
And I went to look to see the number one pick odds for next year were too. He's 4-1 in that market. Nussmeier and Drew Aller are co-favorites at plus 350, but Lenora Sellers right there at 4-1. And so those numbers too, I think, just are wild to be this short at this point. But I think that that was more of a reflection of, wow, look at this kid and look at the tools.
Sure.
Than also, anything else.
I also didn't really think he was like, he was fine. He wasn't really that impressive.
The run was pretty sweet.
It was, but like, were you talking about Sellers?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Nussmeier, excuse me. Because if you look at Nussmeier, 6.1 yards per attempt on 38 pass attempts and 39 dropbacks on an average depth of target of 4.4 yards downfield. That was a whole lot of receivers, please help me out here. So yeah, I think you get credit for, hey, bad half, keeping your team under control, being the quarterback, keeping us on track, all those sort of things. But that to me is not a Heisman profile for a guy that deserves to be favored. So, okay, I've got one for you here that might be kind of crazy. You ready for it? Arch Manning.
Well,
one game against Ohio State?
He falls to 16 to 1.
After one game against what could be the best defense in the country in a true road spot, what if he turns it around? What if he is all of a sudden everything you expect him to be as you move forward?
Well, and that's why, if you remember coming into the week, we talked a lot about if you are somebody who's pro-Ohio State or pro-Texas, the loser of that game, if you are high on that team, you're going to get some good buy points. I think that's kind of Exhibit A. What if... Maybe that's just a segment. What if? What if Arch Manning ends up being what he has been projected to be? He had a tough time against a Matt Patricia-led defense that, as we talked about as well, could be the most difficult defense, all respect to Georgia, could be the most difficult defense he faces all season long on that schedule. He figures out some of the off-target stuff. He gets back to the fundamentals that we know he's capable of. And, oh, maybe Sark helps him out and draws up a game plan that actually utilizes his tools more. Yeah. Then why not? See, you should have saved this for tomorrow. Why not Wednesday's coming up tomorrow?
Sure. I mean, it's just – or to use the term, like you said.
But if there's a buy point, yeah, that's probably it.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you got any kinks that you got to work out in your game – three games straight against San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston.
Good opportunity.
That might be a good chance for you to kind of come back and work on some stuff. I think we're doing a little too much with punting on this. I am all for making fun of people. Like, I'm down with it. But some of the stuff that you saw coming out of it and just the overall thoughts and what we're seeing now, if they lose one game, maybe two, and he is this is a team with two losses in the college football playoff, a big part of that is going to be Arch Manning turning things around. And he's got the chance over the next three games to load up the statistics, to throw for the touchdowns, to run for them, to put up some video game-esque numbers heading into a road game against Florida, which, as we will throw out the caveat, as many have discussed with Florida, who knows if DJ Lagway's playing October 4th?
Yeah.
Because that could be another opportunity for a big win for this team. I just think It's a little early to just go, nah, dead, we're done. And I know 16-1 is not exactly that, but to see the Heisman preseason favorite that far down, who's that highly touted, and God forbid, Stormy, what if a 21-year-old got really nervous at a big road spot and was just kind of playing like garbage?
Oh, no. Because going to the shoe for your debut as, like, the guy moving forward for your program is so easy to do. The one caveat I will say to that is that the preseason Heisman favorite has not gone on to win the award the last decade. So there is that portion of it as well if you want to play that in. Nussmeier and Sellers, we mentioned your favorites. Carson Beck, 12-1. Cade Klubnik, Clemson, 14-1. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State wideout, 15-1, as is Gunnar Stockton, and then the numbers go down from there. But my one rule of thumb in the Heisman market is until you have a frame of reference at the end of the season, or it could be the midway point of the season, where this thing is all but decided, you should not be betting a Heisman bet that is in single digits at this point. This market is going to fluctuate like crazy every single week. If you're not getting double digits, I think you're doing it wrong. Okay, let's go. And speaking of Devin Dampier, by the way, who we mentioned earlier, as high as 150-1 at one point, got down to 80-1 right before the season. We were around 50-60-1. He's 35-1 now. Just for thought. Okay, we did want to look at some letdowns and look-ahead spots. I think a couple interesting ones that I'm curious your opinion on. We mentioned a lot this week, LSU, how much they invested in this week one game against Clemson. They've got La Tech this week as like a 38.5 point favorite before they have to go and then face Florida in the following week. Is this a spot where I know it's Louisiana Tech, but you are not only like so game planned out from Clemson, but then know you have a top 15 opponent coming up the following week. Is that not such an obvious, hey, maybe we're not going to put everything out there and show our hand against La Tech?
Not only could this be a letdown, would you call this a sandwich
spot? Sandwich spot.
Sandwich spot, yeah.
We did it.
I agree. I think, and this isn't even so much, hey, we're so exhausted from Clemson, and you have one of these matchups, as we have seen multiple times in this first week of college football. We consider you to be a lowly opponent. We will not show much because we have a bigger game on deck or whatever it is, where you're probably going to see a pretty vanilla game plan for the most part. Come out and play some basic football, not show many concepts, and just try to get a win over an overmatched opponent. And on the flip side, you get the added benefit, I think, of the in-state little brother. Louisiana Tech coming in, being able to put forth a really good effort against the, you know, the big college that is LSU, and at least doing something there. That's always something somewhat difficult. You're going to get hair on fire type effort from the team coming in, trying to make a mark against you, who just got your big win. By the way, your head coach is still taking shots at Dabo Swinney in press conferences now, and now looking ahead to potentially Florida. I would agree. And it's 38 at a couple of spots.
I know we don't have FCS lines available right now, but Tennessee ETSU this week, Georgia coming up on the horizon, could be worth a look there. Southern Cal taking on Georgia Southern at Purdue. I don't know if that one's maybe as much, except for the fact that it's Jaden Maiava taking on his former head coach, Barry Odom.
Barry Odom. Hey, that's a good one, actually. That's pretty sneaky solid, huh? Jaden Maiava ditches the program, right?
And if there's any head coach that knows him and his tendencies and his problem areas, maybe it's Barry.
That's a good one.
Could be a sneaky one. We did get
No way Cal's overlooking Texas Southern.
We did get
a boys are gonna be locked in.
Tweet, by the way, from William Wagers that a game going under the radar this week could be West Virginia at Ohio. Mm-hmm. First look ahead spot for West Virginia with Pitt coming to town for week 3 for the backyard brawl. That's a very good point. I'm trying to see some other ones that could be worth looking. Do you think Miami and Bethune this week, South Florida the following week, which is another like big brother, little brother thing, but South Florida got the big win against Boise State in that week one game. Could they be a legit, I mean, how legit you want to say, but I mean, look at what Boise and Oregon happened last year, right? Could USF put up a fight in that game against a team that they were all doubted by? Like, none of those guys were probably recruited to Miami the way they wanted to.
Yeah, I think that would make some sense. By the way, you could cross off Kansas, Missouri as a letdown or a look ahead. That is the border war. They will take that very seriously there.
Interesting games, though.
No, there are a couple. Tim's really good at these, by the way. Check out VSiN Primetime later today.
All right, we got to step aside when we come back. Don't tease me! Or do. We're going to look at some Week 1 NFL teasers on the slate coming up. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Fake cappers are everywhere, folks, lying about their records, scamming bettors. For the first time, there's a real solution. Juice Reel, the trusted marketplace for buying and selling picks with total transparency. Here's how it works. On the Juice Reel app, every seller syncs their sportsbook account, so their full betting history is imported directly from the books. No screenshots, no fake records, no hype, just facts. Same thing with Stormy on the sidelines. That means the only way to sell picks is to prove you can win. And the only picks you can buy are from verified bettors with real results. Days of inflated profit claims are over. On Juice Reel, you can tell proven winners or get paid when others tail you. Download Juice Reel today. That's juice like orange juice. Real. R-E-E-L. Juice Reel.
What is your favorite juice?
First off, I meant that you say, like, you spit facts. You have pure facts.
It felt like when you said that, you meant it in jest.
No,
it really hurt my feelings.
That is a true thing. I have heard your reports before. I did not this week. I apologize. I was watching the game on mute.
You were texting me about
I did not text
State.
During the game.
No. You were texting me afterwards about Oregon State at the end of the game. You're like, oh, I knew you were talking about Malik Murphy because I saw your head pop up.
Yeah, put your little avatar up. And I was like, God, she's talking about this right now. I should probably unmute this, but whatever. I can't remember what I was doing.
You're so busy.
I would say this is maybe going to be a good callback for people that are around our age. I would say the ultimate juice was actually when I was a child. Remember Sobe?
Oh, fire.
The orange carrot juice from Sobe was the best.
They had like a like a coconut Sobe. That one for me was fire. Whatever happened to them?
Do they still exist? Let's see. Yeah, doesn't look like it. Well, maybe they do. No, they have a website, so it's got to
be. So they're still around.
Yep, I was a big orange carrot guy. That was a very good juice.
I'm really into what's a vitamin water?
Okay.
Does that count as a juice? Probably not.
It's a vitamin water.
Vitamin water, the energy flavored. It's not energy flavored, but the energy titled.
You'd be surprised. I had, as people would famously know.
The orange one.
I was a barista, and that's the only thing I've done ever in my life.
You've never said that before on the air.
I've had people come up to me and claim this doesn't taste like regular caffeinated coffee. To which my response was, that's the stupidest thing I've heard. That's regular coffee.
You've never said that to someone.
Oh, I have, yes.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have. Oh, trust me. Look.
How did you not get fired?
Because I was the opener. Ain't nobody around. Are they going to believe them or me? That's all the time. Don't get me started on some of the things I had to do.
Anyone that knew you would believe the customer. So, just saying.
Sobe, though. Shout outs to Sobe. Right. Very good juice.
On that note.
Used to come in glass bottles, but now we care about the economy.
As excited as we are about juice, I would argue we're more excited about week one of the National Football League getting underway here in just a couple of days. And with that, there are a handful of teaser options that are available this week, whether you want to tease down some of the big favorites or if you want to do one of those standard Wong teasers where you go through the key numbers of 3 and 7, taking a dog up. There are a lot of good options here. And I just realized as I say that there is a lot of our audience that might not even know what a teaser is. So do you want to like lay that out and explain it? Okay, if you don't want to, it's basically like a parlay.
I can do it. I was like, why does it fall on me? This is your idea.
I was just trying to have a conversation. Okay. But for anyone that's never heard of a teaser, it's basically like a parlay. You can pick two teams or more, like you can do more, but the standard teaser is two teams, and you have the opportunity to adjust the spread, or some people will tease totals as well. It's not your standard most profitable way historically, but it is something that people do. You can tease it in your favor one way or another. So let's say, for example, the Raiders game this week. It's a 2.5-point spread. You can take that 2.5 up to 8.5. You go through the 3. You go through the 7.
Yes. I'm sorry. Dustin Sweetelson.
Is that a good way to explain it?
It's a great way to explain it. I was listening, but Dustin Sweetelson hit me with something in a text message that we will have to revisit the Sobe conversation.
Okay. My little sister, by the way, nails just picking like zillion leg 10-point teasers.
Really?
Just crushes it.
Okay.
Yeah. She's 11 years old, and she gives my dad so many winners.
To invoke and tie in what we just watched on Monday and your old stomping grounds here on the network, when I was flying out to Atlantic City and doing shows with Lombardi, I showed him what a 10-point teaser was. And so our first week together, I think I put together like a 16 10-point teaser.
Yeah.
Just for some fun to show him how, and it hit. And so then, of course,
addicted.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, of course, it's the first one that I show him and it hits and he's like, wow, like that's, so it was a very good memory. But yes, you hit it right. Generally, though, as you're saying, the thought being, first off, shop around for teaser prices. They are getting more and more expensive as they go along.
It's aggressive.
Yes, I think that there are some math guys that would tell you that we're going to get to the point where probably they are unplayable. We'll see if that is actually the case, depending on where these prices eventually get to over the next few years. But you do want to do what you're talking about with the Wong teasers. Generally, get through the two key numbers. Teasing through zero doesn't really do you that much when you're talking about getting actual value. It's getting through those two keys and getting through what is essentially a good chunk of NFL games falling within that spectrum and being able to cross through those numbers.
And a lot of these games this week do. Like, if you like any of these big favorites, the Eagles, even on Thursday night, right, you can bring that 8.5 down to 2.5. If you like the Broncos this week against the Titans, instead of having to lay over a touchdown, you're now laying 1.5 points. So
that, to me, is – so we were talking about Survivor. If you're doing teasers, I feel like the Denver side's got to be included for you.
That's a great base leg.
Yes. Given the fact of this situation for Cam Ward and what's happening here, you know, if you wanted to tie a few of these teaser options into the Denver Broncos, I think that makes all the sense in the world. You know, for somebody like us or people like us who maybe are debating between Arizona and Denver, if you're not going to use Denver and maybe save them for later, tying some of these teasers to that Denver, like you said, as a base leg, I think that's one that you generally have to consider here.
Do you like any of these 2.5 or 3-point dogs? Because there's a ton of them. The Lions up from 2.5 to 8.5. The Seahawks against the Niners. I don't like that one, though. The Patriots. The Raiders against the Patriots. I wonder why. Yeah. As the resident 49ers fan here on the network. But while it won't be a standard Wong teaser because you're on the three already, but still you'd be going through the seven, if you do the Chargers against the Chiefs, the Jets against the Steelers, Texans against the Rams. Like, there's a bunch of these.
That one there. So if you're going to get 2.5 with the Jets, with a number that is 38.5 on the total. So, again, you want tease up, get through two key numbers, low total, 38. I think it's the lowest total on the board, right, by a mile. That is something, too, where, for me, a Broncos-Jets teaser, if 2.5 is going to be your predominant number to be able to tease that up, I think that's something that's definitely worth it.
Well, and as someone for you who already has the Jets plus 3 in pocket, clearly you believe in that side anyways. Now you're giving yourself more wiggle room. So does that sound like that'll make the card for you if you do Jets and Broncos?
Yeah, I think you can throw Las Vegas in there as well as something that's potentially worth teasing. Again, looking at a somewhat low total of 43.5, you're getting the road underdog, but you're getting up through those two key numbers. Markets come off that three that's been readily available throughout the offseason. But again, kind of hitting those check marks of what you're talking about. You generally want to stay away from the higher totals. Higher totals indicate higher volatility in a game. So, for example, Detroit and Green Bay, you could tease up Detroit. I'm somebody that thinks there's some value in that number already. But you're talking about a total of 47.5, and it did open 49.5. So that is one of the higher ones. And Baltimore, Buffalo, too. You know, if that if that 1.5 appears again, I think I'm looking at one spot as DraftKings have it. And again, that's a pretty expensive teaser spot. But if you wanted to get that to 7.5, that's a really high total. It might not be the lock that you think it is just because of the potential volatility of what that game could be.
Monday night, too, if you had any inclination for the home team, you can bring the Bears up from 1.5 to 7.5 against the Vikings in a 43.5 point total game.
So if you went, if you really span this out, it would be.
So that's what I'm saying. Some weeks when you look for teasers, it's slim pickings, but there's a ton, I feel like, week one.
Well, and I don't want to speak for books because this is probably not the way it goes, but. You would some of these games, if we're deeper into the weeds in the football season, a team like Philadelphia, if there's really a big gap, you'll see books push those numbers to 9 instead of 8.5 to protect themselves from some of those teasers that will be locked in there and stave away some of those. But right now in week one, where we're still kind of in a sense of unknown, week one, week two, I think generally the Stanford teasers haven't done particularly well in recent years, to my memory. And I think that's because, again, we just don't know really yet what these teams are. We have a sense of what they could be. But I would say, kind of zooming out and looking at this, using Chicago, using Denver, using the Jets, those will be some combinations of teasers that I think are definitely worth looking at. We can invoke, again, Tampa Bay and Atlanta, but again, a somewhat highest total. Mm-hmm. But those three, I think, are definitely worth looking at and teasing in some sort of combination.
Yeah, rest assured, when we get to best bet segments throughout the course of the week, there will be a few of these that end up on my card for the week. How do you feel about teams that are kind of sitting on that 6, 6.5 range? Do you go down to pick ever?
I've tried to be pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Consistent with the I want to get through two numbers kind of deal. Maybe there is. Steve Fezzik, who texts you and listens every once in a while, maybe would have the math behind this. Is there an argument to be made that maybe sometimes getting through, getting from 6.5 down is maybe because in this day and age of going for two more often and all those sort of things, that there's an increase in the value of that, maybe? But I'm just, talking out of my rear end with that, kind of spitballing if that's the case.
Yeah, don't know the actual logistics behind it. But, if you are someone who likes that, though, and we talked, again, in the frame of Survivor, how much we like Arizona, you can bring the Cardinals down just to win in New Orleans against the Saints. Same thing with the Commanders to beat the Giants. Or if you want to take the Giants up from 6 to 12, you can get weird there, too.
Do you have a read here?
No.
How about this? Dustin Sweetelson. Fun fact, my grandfather helped launch Sobey.
No.
That responded, BS. Somebody get
yeah,
they came.
No.
They came to him, called South Beach, said the name sucked, so they returned with an Asian theme as Sobey. He also mentioned that we invested in every company that the Vitamin Water creator started until Vitamin Water.
This is not real.
I don't believe him at all.
What?
I'm stunned. Be quiet.
Okay, we got to take a timeout. Best bets after this as we wrap up the Tuesday edition.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves. is wrapping up this Tuesday edition of the program. Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Circa Resort and Casino, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Did you do any Googling? Have we gotten any confirmation whether or not Dustin was lying? Is there even a way to find that information
out? I just assume he's lying. He's from some backwater town called Valdosta, Georgia. I assume they just discovered electricity within the last 10 years or so. So I don't believe that his family was forethinking enough and at the forefront of branding that Sobe went to them as South Beach and they were rebranded as the hit success that they then ultimately became.
It does sound suspect. Yes. Okay, we do want to wrap up the show like we always do, getting into some best bets. And you and I have been diving into this college football card, and there is a bet that you already have in pocket and one that I'm contemplating, which I think that you're going to talk me into more than talk me off of. But let's start with the bet that you have made.
Yeah, so this is one actually I made yesterday after the show, and it has since moved quite a bit. I didn't realize this until it was this morning. But I still think if it's still this key number, it's worth looking at, which was Sam Houston State plus 7 against Hawaii. I don't think Mike Alhato's healthy. I think there's a chance that we might see his backup here, Warner, and he did not look good against Arizona. Now, maybe with a week of prep, that's going to be something. But I don't think Sam Houston State's loss to UNLV and failure to cover was as bad as it looked on the surface. There were some missed opportunities there against UNLV, which actually ties into the UCLA play that we talked about yesterday. But I just think, to me, it's a really big number for Hawaii. I don't think they're particularly great. As a 2.5-point home favorite, they barely got by Stanford, who put together one of the worst passing performances you will ever see, and they needed to drive downfield late to win that game on a field goal, as we all know. I just don't know if I trust Hawaii laying a big number like this. And it's just, I always find it interesting, too, the market reactions from week to week. Last week, the market couldn't get enough of Sam Houston against UNLV. And now here we are, at least the opener as high as 9.5, I thought was pretty extreme. And I think the market's getting this right and chopping this thing down. So as long as it's above 7 or above, getting that key number, I think that's playable. Some spots are starting to flash at 6.5. And I would readily expect that we are going to close well below 7 by the time we get to kickoff.
Because you mentioned that Stanford game and how we talked yesterday about trying to see what that, when it gets posted, the in-season updated total is for Cal. When I went to look at the sheet, the only team that is available to bet is Stanford.
Really?
And it is 2.5.
Yeah. That's a bad loss. I mean, that's the thing that you can't really – those are the games that decide a win total are those ones.
The under, by the way, under 2.5 for Stanford, juiced minus 140 for inquiring minds. Best bets, by the way, as always, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 of cashback rewards once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saves you 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cashback on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions. Actions 2% cash back on anything else you buy. Apply now at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. And the game I'm contemplating is one we talked about a little bit yesterday. Cy-Hawk coming up in Ames this week. Iowa State, the 2.5s are gone now. Iowa State favored by the full field goal. And I think that's the right side. I think that I want to lay it with Iowa State here. And we had the conversation yesterday about how maybe we just should have been a little bit higher on Rocco Becht. And I don't know how much of my personal thought process on him came from what we saw last year or if it was paired with the quarterback play that we see throughout the Big 12. Like, there are so many quarterbacks in the Big 12 that I've talked more about, Devin Dampier and Avery Johnson and Sam Leavitt and Jalen Daniels. We even see Josh Hoover last night, right? Or Sawyer Robertson. We've talked about all of these other guys so much more than we were about Rocco Becht. I think maybe he's just really elevated and maybe this team actually is pretty good. And for me being as high as I was on Iowa coming into the season, and yes, as you said, maybe them not showing a ton in that first game, but your offense did what now? Passing the football? Mark Gronowski, who I was so excited about seeing what he could potentially do, was 8 of 15 for 44 yards passing. Did have a touchdown, another one on the ground, but like I had much higher expectations for this team, and the slow start that they had threw me off a little bit. And I know what we saw with Iowa State. It's against South Dakota, so how much can you really take from that this past week? But I thought that could have been a letdown spot for them coming off of the big win against Kansas State and the travel from Dublin, and then they balled out.
Yep. It was a letdown for K-State.
All signs to me right now are pointing to Iowa State at home, and that is even with the road team in this contest winning the last five.
No, I'm with you. I invoked Utah when I was talked about this a little bit yesterday and then here again with you right before we came back, which was you don't want to overreact too much, but some teams aren't worth upgrading. What if this is the case? What if Iowa State is just that good? When you look at the way Becht has played, I'm with you. The added cherry on top, again, you can make the argument that you don't want to show anything against an opponent like Albany. That wasn't that.
Yeah.
That was bad quarterback play. For what it's worth, for those who like it, PFF graded him a 54.8 passing grade in that game, Gronowski. Again, you mentioned the stat line.
And it'll get better. He's coming back from an injury, too, but like it's not going to be night and day.
Sure. And, well, here's the thing. Against Albany, you had an average depth of target of 4.8 yards downfield.
44 yards passing in a college football game against a bad team?
Right. That, to me, is something that I think is worrisome against Iowa State. And I'm with you. I had mentioned this and invoked him when we talked about the K-State game in Ireland, which was, hey, if you looked at Rocco Becht from his first full year as a starter to year two, and then to year three, like we've seen some troubling signs of like maybe some decline. I think the eye test has told me that Beck—he's a good college quarterback. His numbers were great. His through two games, he's been brilliant so far.
I mentioned, like, oh yeah, potential letdown. He comes out and throws a 66-yard touchdown pass right out the gate, sets a program record for completions. Like, it's just maybe he's just better, and I underrated them. And I know that it's a small sample size with just two games, but I'm. Should I just make it official? Should I just throw it? Okay, Iowa State -3. Because I don't think that this thing is going back to 2.5.
I'll throw out one more. Do you have another game? Because I wanted to throw one out for your
I have one more that I'm contemplating go SMU, ahead. But it's why don't you go
well,
do yours?
I was just going to say really quickly, it's never as bad as it looks, okay? But it might be that bad for Charlotte. Do we bounce back with Chapel Hill? North Carolina, it is now a 12.5-point spread. Our original, like,
wasn't it 17?
I was gonna say some spots were 19. So you've downgraded this team quite a bit, but Charlotte was in a bad way. The quarterback issues, I think, were partly because of a bad offensive line. Like everything you look at with the 49ers coming out of that game this last week, it was really bad. Their down execution, everything. 12.5 in a, we'll call it, bounce back after being embarrassed in front of the nation on Monday.
Have we gone too far with a, what do you say, 7-point swing now?
Now, I do wonder, and maybe I'm just thinking too much about this, but I do wonder, is Belichick in the college coach mode already, where college coaches, in spots like this to get the bad taste out of your mouth, you'll put it on an opponent? Is he there? Is he going to do that? Or is he still, hey, bring your lunch pail and let's get this done and get out of here? But either way, under 14, there's multiple 12.5s out there now.
Do you think that the second half would have been different had that pick six at the end of the half, at the first half, not happened?
Probably.
You think that, like,
I mean, or the big run.
Or the 75-yard run from the first play.
Would it have been better if any of these touchdowns had not occurred?
But I truly feel like if you're watching the first half, yes, I know offensively, like, it wasn't there beyond the first drive. But like, the defense was performing well. And if you don't have that, it's a 10-7 game when that pick six is thrown to Bud Clark.
Yeah, and
how different is the complexion of the game going into the second half after that?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And it's just, I don't think we should lose the thread too much. Josh Hoover and the Horned Frogs could be a Big 12 contender. They could be one of the better teams in their conference. So, yes, you never really like to see a team get smoked. But now to see this downgrade to 12.5 against this Charlotte team that I think is really bad. It does get the mind turning if there's going to be buyback at all, if this is just going to be one-way traffic and this gets pretty low.
We've touched on these odds a handful of times in the Big 12, but this league is fascinating to me. Who ultimately is going to pull away? Obviously, we like Utah. We're very, very pro-Utah. Devin Dampier is a freak of nature. Plus 425, that number, still, because of all of these other teams.
The real question is, who can beat Utah?
I'm hoping I get them in a couple late-night spots this year.
Are you allowed? You should probably tell
your
job. Tell your bosses. Like, I don't know if I can cover this journalistically. You love Devin Dampier too much.
I'm too high. I'm too high on Devin Dampier. What am I going to do?
You can't put me on the sidelines for this thing.
What am I supposed to do? Yeah. The odds atop the Big 12 right now, Utes plus 425, Texas Tech right there plus 475, Iowa State 6-1, ASU plus 650, TCU 8-1. and like all of them very viable candidates from what we've seen to this point. Okay, that's a wrap for us today on this Tuesday edition of Money Moves. We appreciate it. We also, throughout the course of the show, it's funny how this happens, came up with some good segment ideas for tomorrow. So I'm excited for a couple of things that we're going to have in the works coming up for you. But stick around, because even though we are through, Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly is next. Paul Stone coming up with his best bets for college football joining the program. They'll also have Circus Survivor winner Brian Stacks on deck. So Follow the Money, Locked and Loaded next. We will be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a great day. Good luck with your bets.